Boston, Massachusetts. Local believer Anthony Park announced to his weekly Bible study group that he's just not feeling called right now to exhibit the Christian virtue of charity in his personal walk with Christ. Sources confirmed. "I've really been keeping the idea in prayer for the last few years," Park reportedly said, "but I just haven't felt the mystical sense in my heart that the Lord wants me to be generous with the healthy salary he's blessed me with. Don't get me wrong, I'm totally open to giving to the less fortunate, but I'm just not sure it's God's plan for me right now. If only he had some way of revealing his will to us," he added. Park further added that should the Lord make it clear to him that he is to give generously and seek justice for the world's orphans and widows, he will definitely get on that right away. "There are lots of Christians who have the spiritual gift of generosity, and that's great," he said. "But for me, until I hear it from the Lord himself, and I mean audibly using my full name, I guess I have no choice but to keep spending my money on myself. I don't want to get ahead of God's will, of course." Now, you could probably guess, it's fake news. It's not a real story. And yet, it's pretty close to the heart for lots of Christians. Lots of Christians want to look for any excuse that they can to not be generous. Any reason is good enough. Maybe you feel that personally hitting home. There's kind of pretty lame excuses you've come up with. Maybe something like, "I don't have enough money to be able to be generous. Or I'm worried that if I give it, it won't be used well. Or I'm waiting for the situation where it's really needed. I don't want to give it and then wish I could give it to somewhere else. Or I'm just waiting for the opportunity that feels right, where I know that my motivations are fully genuine and pure." There's lots of excuses we can come up with as Christians to not give. As we read 2 Corinthians, Paul has made very clear that Christians are to be generous people. We read it last week in chapter 8, and particularly we saw how he grounds this in the gospel, that Christians are to be generous because God himself has shown us his generosity in sending Jesus. Have a look back at chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." And as we keep reading chapter 9, Paul's continuing to encourage the Corinthian Christians to be generous. And as he does this, he helpfully undermines some of the obstacles that we often put up to giving. And so we're going to look at this, look at some of the things he says and how it can be helpful for us moving forward in our generosity. There's 3 points. First of all, prepared generosity. Second, cheerful generosity. And third, generosity in context. That's where we're going. Starting off, prepared generosity. As Paul says, the first thing in this chapter we see is, he tells the Corinthians, be prepared to give. Be prepared to give. Have a look at verse 1. "There's no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year in Achaia, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." Paul's saying, hey, you got the intention, that's great. Now let's see that flow on and make sure you've got the action to match. Verse 3 says, "But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish this arrangement for the generous gift you had promised, and then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given." Paul says, you said you're going to be generous. You started on the right foot. Now, follow through. Make the arrangements. Take the steps. Get ready so that you're prepared to give when I come and take up the collection. You don't want to be kind of fumbling around in your pockets going, oh, I just spent my last change on a sausage at Bunnings and don't have anything to give. Don't be caught out. Now, Paul has already, he's already told them about this, actually. If you're familiar with his previous letter in 1 Corinthians 16, he's already warned them about how to take these kind of steps that will help them be ready. In chapter 16, verse 1, he says, now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And Paul's saying, I'm going to ask you at this time when I come, start putting some aside now so it's ready. Put it into a special envelope. Put it in a special box. You can even collect it together at the church so that when I come, we don't have to kind of fumble around then. It's ready. Be prepared. You have to be deliberate about it, though, to be prepared, don't you? You have to be intentional. It has to be a priority. And that's the kind of thinking about generosity Paul's encouraging. He's thinking about when you get paid on the first day of the week and you've got all your money there, that's the time to set some aside. Don't wait till the end of the week and see what's left. Make it a priority. Now, do you do that? Are you someone who is intentionally preparing so that you can be generous? Do you set, out of the money that you have, you set some aside so that you're able to give and share with others who have need? I was thinking about this. I think one of the ways that I'm not prepared to give if an opportunity comes up is that I don't carry cash around. Like, I just pay for everything just about with a card. But there's been situations where I thought, well, I've come across someone that I could have shared with, but I didn't have that option. They didn't carry an FBOS machine. Is that something I should consider, carrying some cash with me for the sake of being prepared to give? It wouldn't be a bad thing to do. But you might be thinking, Toby, hang on, what about being spontaneous? If we've been prepared, doesn't that mean kind of it's all cold and calculated? It's all kind of dry? It's giving kind of by rule because you've decided to? Does this kind of squash out spontaneity? Well, I don't think so. I think if you're prepared and if you've got the money ready, it allows you to give more freely and generously when the opportunities arise that you want to be generous in. See, spontaneous doesn't mean being unprepared. Spontaneous means that it's arising on the occasion from within, that it's this opportunity that comes up. It's the opposite to what Paul kind of talks about next, the opposite to being coerced into giving. It's this free welling up. Let's have a look what he goes on to say, and he talks about cheerful generosity. Verses 6 and 7, he says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul wants people to give cheerfully, not reluctantly. He wants people to give willingly and freely, not kind of got their arm twisted and they're going, okay, I'll do it because you're making me. But because they, in their free choice, have decided that's a good thing. Not out of pressure or guilt. Not to be competitive, because you kind of like need to keep up with other people and make sure you don't look bad by not being generous. Not like that. Free, cheerful generosity. Now, if you have heard a sermon on this passage before, probably if you've heard a sermon on this passage, not at Tom's, I've heard lots of sermons, almost always the preacher wants to tell you something Greek. Now, you've probably never heard me mention something in Greek in a sermon before, but I'm going to do it. The word cheerful is the Greek word hilarion. Hilarion, which is where our English word hilarious derives from. And so, some preachers will tell you, God wants you to give hilariously. He wants you to be that kind of welling up with laughter, that it's such this joyful moment that you go, kind of go giggling all the way to the bank. That's not the way translation works. It's in your Bibles as cheerful because the translators have realized that's the best way to translate the idea of hilarion into English. It's the same as works for another word, dunamis, which is kind of the word that which means capable or able or sometimes power. It's also the word that the English word dynamite comes from. But it's wrong to try and say that every time it comes in the Bible, it means explosive. That's not the way translation works. And that's partly the reason why you never hear me mention something about Greek. Because most of the time, what you got in front of you is the most helpful way to say whatever's written in Greek. But back to what's written here. Paul says, don't be reluctant. When you're reluctant to give, what's going on in your mind? What's going on there? When you're reluctant, there's a mindset that's worried, that's fearful, that if I give this, I might regret it. I might need it. It's this mindset that's based on scarcity. That if I give this, then I'll be in a situation where there won't be enough. Now, you might think this is a problem with people's generosity and their ability to give, and it is. But bigger than that, it's a theological problem. People and Christians who have this scarcity mindset have misunderstood God. And that's where Paul goes to help these Corinthians get it right. Keep reading with me. Verse 8 says, God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul says, if you understand God and what he is like, if you understand how abundantly God gives, there's no reason to be reluctant in your generosity. God is the God who can give you all that you need. God is the God who can give you more than you need. God is the God who can replenish your supplies when you're generous in sharing them with others. God is the God that you need to rely on to feed you tomorrow and the next day and the next day, not the God of money. You want to rely on him, on his provision. He will supply what you need. He will enrich you in every way. Now, this doesn't mean that if you give money, your bank account will go up. It's kind of not what I'm saying. You give, and then suddenly there'll be this gift that appears. If I give 10%, maybe my income, I'll get a promotion and get 10% extra income. Kind of this kind of cycle of, I'll give 10% more and I'll keep getting more. That's not how it works. Because if you look carefully, as Paul's talking about God providing for your needs, what's the goal of all that? What does he say happens as he provides for people? Have a look at verse 8. God will bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all you need, all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He'll give you what you need so that you can do the good work of being his servant. Verse 9. As these people freely scatter their gifts to the poor, their bank account increases forever. No, not their bank account. Their righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. As God increases the store of seed He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And verse 11, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. God will supply you with what you need to live faithfully, to do the work of being his servant, to proclaim his kingdom, to serve his people, and to be generous. If God gives you more, that only enables you to be more generous, doesn't it? It reminds me of what Jesus was teaching his disciples when he told them the parable of the shrewd manager, and then he kind of followed it up with this little short saying in Luke chapter 16, where he says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? If we're generous with what God entrusts to us, then that shows that we're capable of being faithful, doing the right thing, if he should entrust more to us. That could be more money, but especially the true riches of the kingdom. What's that? Well, obviously it's not metal and plastic money. It's the privilege and responsibility of doing the work that he is doing, building up his people, proclaiming the message. Do you have a scarcity mindset when it comes to money and generosity? Are you worried that if I let go of this money and give it to someone, that I'm going to have to go without? Remember who God is. He gives freely. So you can be generous, cheerfully, without reluctance. Now, let me just give you a quick warning. If you're not a Christian, before you think about being generous in this way, it's crucial that you understand God and his generosity. If you don't understand that, then at one level, there's no point being generous. It's not going to have any of this eternal, enduring outcome. You need to first recognize God's generosity to us in sending Jesus, that though he was rich, he became poor. Why? Because we were poor. We were spiritually destitute. We were bankrupt before God because of our sin, because of our disobedience and rejection of him as God. And yet he sent Jesus, his son, to live in the world, to die, to take on our spiritual bankruptcy and the judgment that deserves from God. Jesus did that. Why? So that we might share in his true riches, the inheritance that will last forever. My friends, if you're not a Christian, that's the generosity that you need to grapple with. What Jesus has done in coming to die to bring us eternal treasure. If you haven't recognized the importance of that, if you're not trusting in that generosity in Jesus, then I want to encourage you, investigate. Seek out what that's all about. Just forget about your own wallet for a minute. Because when we want to think about our generosity, it's got to flow, first of all, from God's generosity. It's got to be a response to the gospel. It's got to come out of our faith. As Paul continues, in the kind of last section of this chapter. It kind of builds on this idea that our generosity is something that doesn't stand alone, but it's part of a bigger picture. Have a look at verse 12. Paul says to the Corinthians, "This service you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And their prayers for you, and in their prayers for you, their hearts go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." What's Paul saying here? He's saying, Corinthians, remember the response. What's going to happen at the end? The result of your generosity. Sure, these are the needs of these Christians who are doing it tough will be met in a physical sense, in a temporary sense. What's the bigger picture? What's the result going to be? Well, it's not about them at all, is it? It's not about the Corinthians. It's not about the Christians in Jerusalem where the money's going to end up. Ultimately, Paul's saying this is going to result in praise and thanksgiving to God. As the Spirit works in you and brings about this obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel, and as you supply the needs of the Lord's people, there'll be many expressions of thanks to God. This is what God is doing. Sure, you maybe have a chance to be a little bit a part of it, but it's part of the bigger picture of what God is doing in the world. He's the one supplying the needs of his people. He's the one answering their prayers. And what a privilege it is that you might get to be part of that. Because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. This grace of giving. Sometimes it's hard when we think about generosity. It's hard enough to think about the other person. But Paul says you've got to go even further than that. You've got to think about God. It's this self-forgetfulness that's actually so helpful when we're being generous. It's not about you. It's not about how it makes you feel. It's not about you feeling like you're in the moment. It's not about what you get out of it. So many worldly charities want to advertise to us. You'll feel good about yourself for doing something good for others. But that doesn't matter. You can feel worse about it. It's not about you. It's not even ultimately about the other person on the end. In the big picture, it's about God. As we reflect the generosity that he's shown to us, other people catch a glimpse of that generosity. And they give thanks to God. Well, Paul here, he's continuing on the encouragement to the Corinthians to be generous that he started in chapter 8. And helpfully, he reminds us of some key things. He reminds us that we can be prepared to be generous. It's really helpful. Take practical steps so that you're ready when the opportunity comes. He reminds us to be generous cheerfully, not reluctantly, trusting in God the provider, giving freely. And he reminds us of the bigger picture of generosity. And as we do this, as we see his encouragements, we're reminded, aren't we, that the thing we've been seeing all throughout 2 Corinthians, that it's actually when we're weak that we can be strong in God's way of doing things. It's actually when we are able to look away from the worldly sources of strength, security, money, bank balance, possessions. When we look away from that strength and we appear weak in the world's eyes, and that's when we are relying on God's true strength to look after us. We're trusting in Him, who's way stronger than the biggest bank balance, way more secure than any possession. And it's then, in our weakness, we're able to let go of some of what God's entrusted to us, to be generous towards others, then that God's able to use us in that way of providing for the needs of others. Sin is when we're weak, then we are strong. I want to finish with another, well, it's not quite fake news story, but it's not based on a historical news story. My prayer is that's just a news story that hasn't happened yet. Cranbrook, New South Wales. Local believers confessed in their Bible study group this week that they had failed to be generous and faithful with what God had entrusted to them. Sources confirmed. Against the cultural trends, the Christians encourage one another to be sacrificial in their giving and to look for opportunities where they could be a means of supporting other Christians in need. As they talked together, it was discovered that someone knew of a local family who would benefit from a donation to be able to upgrade their fridge that had died. Someone else knew of a ministry at a local church that was just starting up, seeking to connect with less fortunate people in the neighborhood and needed some manpower and money power to resource it. Someone else suggested, how about we contact our Link missionaries and ask them if there's opportunities for us to provide some money, if they could distribute it helpfully at their end. And as they talked about this in their Bible study group, they made preparations. They took practical steps. And they gave cheerfully. And it resulted in many expressions of thanks to God overflowing. Wouldn't that be great if that was your Bible study? Let me pray for us right now. Father God, we thank you once again for the generosity you have shown to us in the Lord Jesus. I thank you for his sacrificial giving up of all that he had in your presence in heaven to come and walk amongst us, to suffer, to die, to experience the judgment that we deserved at your hand. Thank you that he did that for us, that we can be clean and forgiven in your sight, and that we can look forward to eternal treasure being with you. Father, please help us to reflect that generosity in our lives. Please help us to take the practical steps we need to be prepared to be generous. Please shape our hearts and our trust in you, that we wouldn't be reluctant to give, but that we would give cheerfully. And please help us to remember the larger context of our giving. It's part of what you are doing in the world and ultimately points back to you. And Father, we pray that as we do this, it would result in much thanksgiving and much praise coming to the name of Jesus. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.